life on the way down tonight.
I really appreciate the special music here in Port Norris, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, because it's not performance-orientated. It's ministry-orientated. And there is a difference between performance and ministry. And we have all sorts of people that are willing to perform for the Lord Jesus. But those that are really important are those that are willing to minister to God's people, be it through the special music, be it through singing, be it through the preaching of the Word. That's really the goal. Ministry is the goal, not performance. But fellas, you did a great job, and I appreciate that. That's the kind of music's going to be in heaven, you know, Southern. I don't know if you knew that or not. Yeah. All the angels are from the south part of heaven, so they're all countrified. They're country folks, so, you know. And the Apostle Paul said, you all in Jerusalem, and he's a Southerner, so you understand that it's going to be Southern music that's in heaven. You might say, well, I don't like Southern music. You're going to have a hard time in heaven. Okay? All right. Okay. Turn with me, if you would. Now, those of you that are in prayer meeting, don't panic, but turn with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And in James chapter 5, once you get to the address, please, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. I didn't say 7-11, I said 7 through 11. All right? James 5, 7 through 11. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. And tonight I'm preaching on the topic that my wife insists that I still have not learned completely and totally. Now, I can remember Dr. Mason in Bible college saying to us preacher boys, you say, now boys, don't ever preach on anything you're not practicing, because if people find out, you're going to have a major issue on your hands, okay? Well, I've often said to folks, like your doctor practicing medicine, like your dentist practicing dentistry, I'm a preacher practicing ministry. I haven't obtained it yet. Don't know all the answers yet, but hopefully I'm growing and maturing into things of the Lord. But when I preach on this subject tonight, let me just put it to you this way. I'm the type of person, I have an A-type personality. You probably didn't realize that. But I have an A-type personality, which means that I'd really like to have things done yesterday. If I asked today, I really meant it should have been done yesterday. That's just my personality. And that's just the way that it goes. But it has been something that the Lord has been developing in my life, throughout my life, and that is patience. Patience. Now, none of you have a problem with patience. I understand that. So this message really is primarily for me, as I preach it, and my wife will be saying amen throughout the entire message. All right. James chapter 5, beginning at verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Father, I thank you for each one that is present tonight. These really are precious, precious people. And we thank you for the ministry here at Port Norris. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being a part of it, being able to share the Word of God. And I pray for pastor and people alike that each of us would glean one Bible principle from the Word of God tonight, that not only would we glean it, but we would apply it to our hearts and to our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fine, thank you. You may be seated. Now, we are talking about the character traits on Sunday nights of a Christian. the kind of character traits that a Christian ought to have. We've talked about faithfulness. We've talked about honesty. We talked about humility. And tonight we're talking about patience, and we'll be talking about self-discipline. And in a couple of weeks we'll be talking about purity, meekness, thankfulness, any number of character traits that ought to be developed in our lives. And I don't doubt that as we go through these character traits that, you know, we're all going to be able to look at each one of them really and say, you know, I really lack in this area and God really needs to develop this in my life. And one of the things that we're going to look at, well, the thing that we are going to look at tonight is patience. In this generation, in case you haven't noticed it, it is a very impatient generation. We have grown so used to instant everything. Everything. For example, we want instant breakfast. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not interested in instant breakfast. Have you ever eaten that instant oatmeal? I mean, you talk about something that's terrible. That is really, really terrible. I don't like instant oatmeal. I don't like those breakfast sandwiches that McDonald's and those people serve. Now, Dr. Smith, whenever I'm preaching with him, Dr. Shelton Smith, he really enjoys fine dining. I mean, really fine dining. And for breakfast, every morning, we end up at McDonald's, okay? And I can't think of, and he'll get a breakfast sandwich with a Diet Coke. I mean, I know exactly what he's going to get, okay? And I'm sitting there thinking, I sure would like to have bacon and eggs and home fries and toast this morning, okay? But that's the way that it is. But instant breakfast. We want instant health cures. We want instant communication. We want instant pictures. My wife has a camera that I gave her a few years ago, and she's taken multitudes of pictures with it. I haven't seen one. I don't know whatever happened to them. I haven't seen one. Okay? But we want instant everything. The truth is we live in a world that is instant. We want instant solutions to our problems. You know, transportation has become so rapid that we can't even stop at a red light anymore or stop at a stop sign anymore. We want to just keep on going. It has gotten so bad about this instant attitude and lack of patience that people have said to pastors across this country around the world, keep your messages shorter because our attention span isn't so great. Yet, we can watch a two-hour movie on Hallmark and keep our attention span right there. So with all the modern conveniences we have, we as Christians need to develop a spirit of patience. And some Christians pray this way, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Okay? I mean, that's about what happens with a lot of Christians. That's about the way Christians pray when it comes to patience. We need to cultivate the biblical principle of patience. Number one, let me give this to you. The idea of patience. The idea of patience. There are several words in the Bible that speak to us about patience. The word wait, long-suffering, endurance, forbearance. All of these words in the Word of God bespeak to us of patience. The Greek word for patience really means to abide under. To abide under. It means this. It means to abide calmly, without having to hear about having heard some difficulty or burden, just to rest in the Lord. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what he says. And yet, when problems come into our lives, we want them many times instantly solved. And yet, we need to quietly wait and to go through maybe some kind of frustration or some kind of pressure that's being put on us, or some kind of conflict or stress. And yet you and I include myself in this, if there's a problem, if there's a conflict, we want to get it settled then and there. Some things it is necessary to wait for. We need to learn patience, the idea of patience. Number two, let me give you the illustration of patience. The illustration. In James chapter 5, in verses 7 through 11, we see the illustration of patience. First of all, notice how James illustrates patience for us, if you would. He talks about the farmer. Notice, be patient, therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That husbandman simply means farmer. The farmer waits for the fruit of the earth. Now, a farmer doesn't plant, and I'm not much of a farmer, but I know this much about farming. You don't plant today and expect a harvest tomorrow. That just doesn't happen. I've talked to John Hickman and John Lohr about their fields, turning them over. Well, they can't get into their fields right now because they're just not dry enough to get into the fields. And yet they'll come shortly, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, warm weather and this sort of thing, where the fields can dry out and they can get in there and turn their fields over. And if they need to, fertilize, whatever they do to prepare their fields for their different plants that they're going to be putting in. But he has to wait for the plant and the seed. John Hickman was telling me just a few weeks ago how he starts his seeds in the front bedroom of their house in the little pots and has them grow and this sort of thing as the sun shines in, this sort of thing. But it's a waiting process. A farmer doesn't harvest today what he planted yesterday. He has to wait. He has to wait for the seed to germinate. He has to wait for the rain to come, and hopefully he doesn't get too much rain, and hopefully he doesn't get too little rain. He has to wait for the plant to grow and to bear fruit. He has to wait for the fruit to ripen before he can harvest it. So when you're a farmer, you need to develop patience. You need to wait on those things that you have absolutely no control over. He talks about the prophets. James talks about the prophets. Think with me, if you would, about Joseph. Now, we don't often think of Joseph as a prophet, and he really wasn't. But I wanted to use him as an illustration because I think it's good. And notice with me. Joseph had to wait for his freedom as a slave in Egypt. He had to wait. Years he had to wait. He had to wait in jail even though he had done nothing wrong. He had to wait. He had to wait before a person he had helped remembered him. He had to wait. He had to wait a long time before he ever saw his family again and his brethren. He had to wait. He had to wait until his brothers asked for forgiveness. He had to wait. That's not something that you and I are comfortable with, is waiting. But Joseph had to wait. Think about Moses with me, if you would. He was patient and waited, even though Pharaoh was absolutely obstinate. He had to wait until God had fulfilled his plan in the land of Egypt. Moses had to wait. He had to wait even when the children of Israel were discontent. You remember? You brought us out here because obviously there weren't enough graves in Egypt. You brought us out here to die. We want to elect a captain and we can go back to Egypt. Yeah, great. Go back into slavery. That's a wonderful thing. He had to wait. The people were anxious with him. They were pressing him, if you will. He had to wait. He had to wait. Moses had to wait on the 40-year journey through the wilderness. He had to wait. He had to wait even though the journey was difficult and the trials were great. He had to wait on the Lord. He had to wait even when he was threatened with attack by his enemies and the jealousy and the misdeeds of his own family. Moses had to wait. Once again, that's not something that you and I are comfortable with. But it's something that we need to learn to develop in our lives, is this spirit of patience. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. God doesn't move just because we have a time frame. God doesn't do that. We have to learn how to wait on the Lord. Think with me about Job, if you would. You know, we thought about Joseph and Moses. What about Job? Job
had to wait on the Lord.
Though all of his wealth was lost, his children were lost,
he had to wait on the Lord. He had to wait as his entire family was lost except for his wife, and it's a shame she wasn't lost. But nonetheless, with a wife like that, you don't need too many enemies, fellas. I'm telling you right now, okay? He had to wait. He had to wait even though his health was lost. Job lost his health. He had to wait. He had to endure the affliction of ridicule by his wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? How loving and kind and gracious were her words, okay? He had to wait with the criticism of friends. Three of his friends. With friends like he had, you don't need too many enemies. But he had to wait through all of that. We need to learn patience. We need to learn how to wait on the Lord. We need to learn how to go through trials. So we've seen the idea of patience. We've seen the illustration of patience. What about the importance of patience? What about the importance of it? Patience is necessary in the Christian life. We do not grow spiritually when we are filled with a spirit of impatience. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me, if you would. Christians are commanded to wait patiently. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, look at verse number 1 and following. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I believe that great cloud of witnesses there are those that have preceded us in heaven. I believe that's the witnesses it's talking about here. I believe that folks that are in heaven, and I don't know what to what degree, and you're free to disagree with me on this point. I have no problem with that. You have every right to be wrong. Okay, so I have no problem with that. But I do believe that at times those, who else would be the witnesses? Who else would be the witnesses? Notice what he says. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I preach a message on that text, run your race. Run your race. And the picture that I have there is almost like a stadium filled with tens of thousands of people, and you're in your race and you're running it. And by the way, let me say this about your race. You're the only person in it. You're not competing against anybody. I'm not competing against you. You're not competing against me. We're running the race that is set before us. But how are we to run it? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. The Christian life, let me just share this thought with you tonight. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's a long distance race. When I was in high school, I used to run track. Now, I'll be honest with you. I ran the 100-yard dash. I could do the 100-yard dash in 23, 24 seconds. Well, I can tell there's no track people in here, all right? Yeah. Usually in high school, if you could do it in 10 or 11 or 12 seconds, you were doing really good. So I didn't run it because I was good. I ran it because I wanted to stay in shape. There's a difference between running a 100-yard dash and running cross-country. It's a whole different approach to racing. Whole different approach to running. 100-yard dash is just that. It's a dash. Cross-country, just need to have patience. Just keep going. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And so that's what he says here. Christians are commanded to run your race with patience. Every day is not going to be a good day in your Christian life. Every day is not going to be a good day in my Christian life. There are times when, honestly, as a Christian, you know, sometimes you just want to throw up your hands. Sometimes, as a pastor, you just want to throw up your hands. You say, good night, nurse, you know. And you just, but you can't do that. Why? Because you're in a race. You don't quit the race in the middle. You don't quit the race. You just keep running. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. And you do it with patience. And you run the race with patience. I've often said this, and it's not new with me, but quitters are a dime a dozen. Quitters are a dime a dozen. You can see quitters all over the place in every aspect of life, be it in business, be it in politics, be it whatever, in athletics, whatever have you. Quitters are a dime a dozen. And even among Christians, quitters are a dime a dozen. You can sit there where you are tonight and you can think of folks that are still living in Port Norris, used to be in this church. But for some reason, somewhere along the line, they just quit running the race. The Word of God says we are to run with patience. You're in a long distance race. That's what you're in. Your race, if you get saved at 8, 9, 10 years of age, whatever have you, your race could be 60, 70, 80 years long. Your race could be that long. We can't quit. In fact, I really believe, and I'm thoroughly convinced, that the word quit should be taken out of our dictionaries. Dictionaries we as Christians own. I think we ought to look up that word quit, and that's K-U-I-T, quit. And I think we ought to, you got that one. And again, I don't go back and repeat myself on these, okay? I mean, so you got to catch them, all right? We'll just cut that word out of the dictionary that we have, and we are not going to quit. We are going to serve the Lord. Number two, Christians are not only commanded to run with patience, Christians are to add to their faith patience. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice what it says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5 and following. 2 Peter 1, 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So we're to add this. It's wonderful if you're a person of faith, a man or woman, young person of faith, but now we need to add to our faith patience. Patience. And add it to godliness. Patience will help us to become more godly. Christians are to let patience mature in their life. They are commanded to have patience. They are to add patience to their faith. And they are to allow patience to mature. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 4. Notice what it says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work. In other words, let patience mature. You don't become spiritually mature overnight. It is a process. And there will be times when in your Christian life you may take a step backwards in order to take a step forward. But it's just consistently running your race, not quitting, just serving the Lord in the face of all obstacles, in the face of the bad times, in the face of the good times. You just keep serving the Lord. You're just going to be faithful. Patience enables the Christian to mature. Vance Havner said it this way. Some things come only with the passing of years, and the fruit of wisdom cannot be produced by a hurried process. Some things we must wait for. Just to learn how to wait. The idea of patience, the illustration of patience, the importance of patience. Patience. Turn to Luke chapter 8 with me if you would. Jesus spoke of patience. And notice what it says in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15. Patience. Luke 8:15. Patience is necessary for spiritual fruit. Patience is necessary for spiritual fruit.
Luke 8:15. The Lord Jesus speaking. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. With patience. The farmer, just like the Christian is just like the farmer. He must continue in service, serving him, and we'll see the harvest. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, we'll not turn there. But notice what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we just keep at it. Just keep going. Someone mentioned to me about my life's verse tonight. My life's verse is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's my life's verse. I've experienced that verse in my own life. God has been so good to me and done great and mighty things. Patience has a number of promises associated with it. Let's take a look at them. Turn to 2 Corinthians with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Patience has a number of promises with it. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you all in patience. The signs of the apostles were manifested to you in patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. Great things were done by the apostles because they were patient. They were long-suffering. They were forbearing. Patience. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6:13. Notice what the Scriptures have to say. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. From the time God gave to Abraham and Sarah the promise of Isaac, it was many years later until that promise was fulfilled. Unfortunately, they weren't willing to wait. And what happened? You have the birth of Ishmael in there. Ishmael was not the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of the flesh. And Ishmael would cause untold problems even to today for the seed of Isaac. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Patience is necessary for spiritual fruit. Patience is necessary for spiritual maturity. Patience is necessary to see the promises of God. Patience. You know, someone has said that patience is the bitter pill that produces sweet fruit. Patience is the bitter pill that produces sweet fruit. Let me name a couple of men that waited patiently for the Lord to bless their ministries. William Carey labored for 7 years among Hindu people before he saw his first convert baptized. First person received Christ. Took him 7 years. William Carey, number two. In Burma, Adoniram Judson, who buried three wives in Burma. Women on the mission field in the early days, the death toll was unbelievable. Men would marry two or three times because of the death of their wives, and the tropical diseases just took a tremendous toll on women back in those days. But Judson also waited 7 years before he ever saw a soul come to know Christ. Now, you think about this with me. You think about this with me. If this church had a missionary that wrote to you year in and year out and said at the end of the year, we saw no converts. The second year, you get another letter at the end of the year, we saw no converts. The third year, you get another letter at the end of the year, we saw no converts. What do you think might become the thinking of people here in the United States? Because they may not understand the culture. They may not understand the type of people that we know right now, for example, a missionary. And I cannot tell you where he is. I'll just say Northern Africa, but I cannot tell you the country where he is. Because we just can't. He has to be very, very careful what he says and who he says it to. Because his life is at risk every day. Have there been a lot of converts? I can't really tell you. I can't really tell you. I don't know, but I know this about this man. He loves the Lord. He's been faithful to the Lord. And he knows that culture. He knows those people. And with what's going on over there in that part of the world, Northern Africa, Middle East, it's a very difficult time to be a missionary. What I'm simply saying to you is this. Sometimes we here in the comfort of the United States, where our lives are not threatened, and we don't have life-threatening diseases as such that go from one person to another. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand, why would it take so long for a person to see anybody come to know Christ as their Savior? Here are two men, William Carey and Adoniram Judson, two of the greatest missionaries we've ever known, that it took them 7 years to see their first convert. Emerson said this, "A man is a hero, not because he is braver than anyone else, but because he was brave for 10 minutes longer." Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10. Patience is necessary to obtain the promises of God. We've said they are associated with the promises of God. But look at Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For ye have need of patience," he said. These are Hebrew Christians who he's writing to. And he said that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Factors of receiving the promises of God: we must believe God. We must have faith in the Lord. And faith motivates us. And patience helps us get the result. Many people are this close to victory in their prayer life, and they quit because they get discouraged. And we need to recognize that we need to be patient. Adoniram Judson wrote back to the people. He was being criticized because there weren't any converts. This is what he said to the churches that support him. He said, "Beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any other part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success," hear me on this, "tell the brethren success is as certain as the promises of a faithful God." Success is as certain as the promises of a faithful God. Let me give you another point about patience. Patience is necessary in the ministry. Not only in farming or whatever have you, or being a prophet, the man of God, but patience is imperative in the ministry. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. One of the characteristics of a pastor needs to be that he will be patient. I've often counseled young pastors over the years, be patient with your people. Pastors are to lead the people. You lead sheep. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep.
And sometimes sheep aren't always obedient. They get out of the way. They get caught in thickets and thorns, and you got to pull the briars out of them and this sort of thing. But you lead, not for filthy lucre's sake, but you lead gently, even as the Lord Jesus Christ leads us. Christ does not drive us. Christ leads us. And there is a difference. Leadership, the sheep follow. Driving, you're behind them with a whip. You don't do that to sheep. That's not the way you treat God's people. And so, many times, young pastors get upset with God's people because they're just not following me. Or maybe you're not leading. Maybe you're driving. You drive cattle. You lead sheep. Look at 1 Timothy 3. And look at verse number 3. Talk about the qualification of a pastor now. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, but patient. I told one preacher just a few weeks ago, he had called me and talking to me, he was a little bit frustrated. They're just not doing this, just not doing that. And I usually just listen, just let him. Sometimes a preacher just needs to pop off, you know, and just get it off his chest. And so I was just listening to this man, and he went on. And when he got done, I said, "Now, are you done?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Brother," I said, "now you've told me about a number of issues in your church." He said, "Yes." I said, "That's what you're there for, to help solve those issues, to help to bring that church together." I said, "Because if there were no difficulties in that church, if there were no problems in that church, guess what?" He said, "What?" I said, "They don't need you. They don't need you." Sometimes it's a little bit thick, you know. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. Notice what Paul says to Timothy. Notice what he says here. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Patience is a qualification for the man of God. Have you ever noticed the qualifications for the man of God? It never says he has to be an eloquent preacher. It never says that he has to be dynamic in the pulpit. It never says he has to be the best administrator. It never says that. The qualifications of a pastor, basically, are character qualifications. It's the character of the individual that is extremely important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 24. 2 Timothy 2, 24. And then I have one more verse. I'm going to close. 2 Timothy 2:24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Why? Because you lead sheep. You don't drive sheep. You don't whip sheep. You lead sheep. You put the food out there. Some will eat, some will not. When they get hungry enough, they'll eat. They'll eat. You lead them. You pray for them. You be gentle with them. You love them. You teach them. That's what God's people need, to be taught the Word of God. That's what every pastor needs, be taught the Word of God. And then let me give you the final thing here tonight. I'm not going to be able to finish this message, but notice in James 5, 7, patience, the importance of patience. Christians are commanded to have it. Christians are to add patience to their faith. Christians are to let patience mature. Christians are to mature spiritually. Patience is necessary for a qualification in the ministry. And patience
is linked to the coming of Christ. Jesus is coming. Look back here in James chapter 5, verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. We've been over 2,000 years now waiting for our dear Savior to return. I'm getting more and more convinced every day I could see the coming of the Lord in my lifetime. Now, I may not. He may not come for another 100 years. That's okay. I can tell you something. I know as a fact, I know better today that Jesus is coming. That is an absolute fact. I know that's more true than if I said to you tomorrow, I'm going to have breakfast at Geet's Diner. Because I don't know if I'm going to have breakfast at Geet's Diner. I may plan to have breakfast at Geet's Diner. I may not have breakfast at Geet's Diner. But what I'm simply saying is, I don't know. I may, in all my integrity, say to you, yeah, I'm going to have breakfast over at Geet's Diner tomorrow morning. And I may or may not make that. But I can say to you emphatically this. Jesus Christ is coming back. And I know this. He could come back before I ever have a closing word of prayer. It could be that. He might come back tomorrow. He might come back in the month of April, next month. I don't know. And he may not come back for 1,000 years. I have no idea. But I do not doubt that he is coming back. You might say, why is that? Because the Bible tells me so. That's why. Patience. I was talking to a person just this week, a preacher just this week, and down in Kentucky, a dear friend of mine. I held some meetings for him, and he called me, and he's gone through a little bit of a struggle, and I said to him, we talked about his struggle and this sort of thing. He's a good man, loves the Lord, loves his people. And I said, brother, just keep your eyes on the eastern sky. Just keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because the Son of Man is coming soon. And I believe that with all of my heart. Patience, just like the farmer, we need to have patience. Just like Moses, Joseph, Job, all of these had patience. We need to be patient. Let's not get anxious. Let's not get overburdened when we get frustrated with life. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what he says. Let's stand. Now, Father, you are good. Thank you for your goodness. Father, I pray, even as I have prayed, that you would help me to become a man of patience. Help me to be still and know that thou art God. Help me not to become anxious for tomorrow. But, Lord, just teach each of us, pastor and people alike, to add to our faith patience and to wait. Learn to wait on the Lord. He will not disappoint us. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around, I'm just going to offer this invitation to you tonight. If you'd like to come in the next few moments, spend a few moments here at the altar, whatever the need is. If you feel the need to come, you come. If you don't, you just stay right where you are. Just stay right where you are. But if you would like to come, now's the time to come. So let me encourage you to do so. We'll just wait a few moments. See how God leads when it comes to folks coming to the altar. There may be a need in individual lives tonight. God bless you. How can I help you? All right. You want to pray here?